We're going to spend some time now with one of the many aid groups in Japan to help with the rescue and recovery effort. Ian Wolverton is with Save the Children, and he joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you for having me.
Mr. Wolverton, I understand that you're actually on the road right now, and you've pulled over so we can actually have this conversation. Where exactly are you?
That's right. I am in a truck layby about 100 kilometers west of Sendai, which, of course, is near the epicenter of the disaster that struck Japan.
And I'm curious in what you've seen so far as you've traveled closer and closer to the hardest hit area, particularly in some of the smaller population centers that have not been front and center in the news.
Well, that's right. I flew into Tokyo 2 days ago, and as I arrived, we traveled east of Tokyo, 3 hours' drive, to Asahi City, which has not received a great deal of media coverage because the focus has been on affected communities much farther north. But even in Asahi City, there were visible signs of earthquake and tsunami damage. Many of the homes were either partially or fully destroyed. Bizarre sights, too. You'd see vehicles wedged in between homes and walls. But we also went to what's become makeshift shelters for displaced people at primary schools. In one primary school, there were up to 400 people sheltering in 17 classrooms.
You know, with authorities trying so hard to avert a meltdown at the nuclear power plant there, what will happen to all the people who've been displaced? Are people who are hungry and homeless and in many cases injured, are they going to have to pack up and move further away from the center of the disaster?
Well, that's right. Even driving here today, we had to take the long road round because we couldn't go directly past the Fukushima nuclear reactors where the two explosions have taken place. There's a 20-kilometer exclusion zone around the reactors. Now, if the exclusion zone is widened, it means inevitably that more children and their families will need to be evacuated and housed in temporary accommodation like those schools I talked about earlier.
You're there with Save the Children, and you're there specifically to try to meet the needs of children and families. How specifically do you do that?
What we're going to be doing and focusing on in Sendai is setting up what we call child-friendly spaces. It's something we do in disaster responses all over the world. It was done in the States following Hurricane Katrina in New Orleans in 2005. It was done in Pakistan following the floods last year and Haiti following the earthquake. And we do this because our experience tells us if we can transition children to a safe place, to as normal environment as possible following a disaster, then we stand a really good chance of mitigating the risks of the longer-term consequences of psychological trauma.
You know, this is a tough question to ask, but how do you blunt the psychological impact of seeing so much destruction? We've all seen the pictures. How do you help children cope with that?
Well, our experience shows that children are incredibly resilient, and so long as we can provide them with some level of normality, some level of stability, then there's every chance there won't be any long-term psychological consequences. And just to build on that, I was talking to two young girls yesterday in Asahi City, and the first thing they said to me was, we want to get back to school. We want to be with our friends. We haven't seen them since Friday when the earthquake struck, so we don't know if they're safe, and we're anxious about that. So we want to get into a routine because that's important to us.
Are you actually helping with the recovery or the rescue effort and trying to find those that are still missing right now?
We're not. That is something that the Japanese authorities are handling extremely well. Japan's an incredibly wealthy country and extremely well-drilled in disaster response techniques. So in less developed countries, say if we were operating in somewhere like Pakistan, like we were after the floods last year, or Haiti after the earthquake, we certainly would be providing other forms of assistance, food, shelter, water. But here in Japan, what we're trying to do is plug the gaps and ensure that children's needs in particular are always met in the response.
Ian Wolverton, thank you very much for making time for us.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
That's Ian Wolverton. He's with Save the Children, and we spoke to him on his way to Sendai, Japan.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.